Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to St. Columba Anglican Church in Beaumont, Alberta. I'm Stephanie London. Today is Sunday, September 11th, and our reading is Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. What a week! It began with news of a mass murder and an interprovincial manhunt, and it continued with the death of Queen Elizabeth after 70 years on the throne. And then we reeled again with another violent crime, this time in northeast Edmonton. It's been a week packed with emotional events, things we can't help but feel even though we live far away. This morning, of course, we bring all of this to God. I read an obituary of Her Late Majesty this week that really moved me. It was written by an author named Mark Green. He writes this: "The first time I ever thought seriously about the Queen was when God told me to. It was 2015 and Elizabeth was 89. I had asked God a specific question: please show me someone in the public eye who is an outstanding whole life disciple of Jesus, someone whose faith shapes all they do and say. Elizabeth was God's answer, swift, clear, weighty, and to be shared. Since that day, it's become ever clearer to me that Elizabeth was a gift from God to nation, commonwealth, and indeed the global community, a beacon of humility, grace, astuteness, good humor, generosity, and deep faith. God's woman, God's follower, God's queen." He continues, "Like many, I suppose, I'd never been a royal watcher. I admired the queen, appreciated the clarity and warmth with which she spoke, almost every Christmas, of her trust in Christ and the difference he made in her life. But I hadn't thought deeply about her particular vision or how God might be working in and through her. Yes, she was a remarkable woman and a remarkable monarch, but what I came to see and had confirmed by others who knew her better was that she was first and foremost a remarkable disciple of Christ. As such, she offered us an extraordinary example of consistent godliness in one of the longest and most public global ministries in the history of the world." Quite a testimony. And indeed, the stories we've been hearing this week from people close to her affirm all of this, that hers was a life rooted and grounded in her deep faith in Christ, such that it shaped everything she did. And as the Archbishop of Canterbury added this morning, "We remember her not for what she had, but for what she gave." 70 years. This life well lived was a testament to her faith and her dedication and her love. Her last official words earlier this week were to the James Smith Cree Nation in Saskatchewan, speaking of her own grief at the horrific attacks against the most vulnerable as they played out there. "One of the worst mass murders in our history, adding suffering to a community that has already suffered for so long. Perhaps you, like me, were glued to the news for those 3 days, and then back to normal, or maybe not, because with each act of violence, something of our sense of safety and innocence is lost. How much more for those who suffered it directly?" It's poignant that this week we can't escape holding those griefs together at the same time and in the same space. This week, we watched the terrible evil play out at the James Smith Cree Nation in Weldon, Saskatchewan, fueled by the scourge of addiction and who knows what else, from deep pain and loss of humanity, certainly stemming from centuries of trauma fed and nourished by the empire the British monarch represents. The blood spilled doesn't let us forget how the underside of conquesting and conquering nations manifests in generations of terror and abuse, and is still working its way out here on this land. And so this week, we find ourselves holding all of this horrific evil, the relationship between past and present, the sacrificial service of Queen Elizabeth, and the ultimate acts of self-giving of Bonnie Goodvoice Burns and Earl Burns and others. Along with events like this always come the questions and the analysis. What went wrong? Why here? What might we have done differently? How do we move forward? And how do we heal? How do we help future generations find a better way? There are no easy answers. only the cries of wounds yet unhealed, and the quiet witness from constellations of gentle yet determined acts of love that every day push back against evil and violence and despair. And with that, the call to remember that God does not abandon us to decay, but instead seeks us out. That the same God became known here on earth, indeed became hated for eating with tax collectors and sinners, subverting the empire, disregarding the protests of people who thought they knew how things should work, and proclaiming the story that God is searching for us and not the other way around, not us clawing our way up, but God running, arms flung wide to us through all the heights and valleys of our lives. God never stops searching for us, no matter how lost we get, no matter how much violence and destruction we wreak on each other and ourselves. God keeps showing up, whether we are good or bad, lofty or low, desperately in need or self-sufficient and in control. God seeks us out. No one is so virtuous that they make God irrelevant, and no one is so foul that they are out of God's reach. So that when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are proclaiming that God is here and that evil does not have the last word. When we find ourselves lost and alone like that sheep in Luke 15, in the middle of the night at the edge of a cliff with the wind whipping dust and leaves around us, when we're afraid, the horror and grief is too much to carry, God leaves every great and glittering treasure behind to find us and gather us up and carry us home. Praise be to Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd of our souls.